Welcome to the Reinventing Education podcast. Rob McLeod, joined by Brennan O'Leary, today talking about how we prepare people for the world of employment, the job market, and basically just doing work preparation in schools, but this time through the counselor-centered lens. So not the expert, not the coach today, looking through the counselor-centered lens. Brennan, how are you?
Not too bad, Robert. I'm glad to get back into this. It's been a little while and we've been itching to tell the world how the counselor-centered school approach is this, because it's a meaty topic.
So if you're new to us, go back to episode 100 so that you know what we're talking about when we're delineating between the expert, coach, and counselor. We're basically saying that in education, we tend to use this word school or education, but we actually have three completely different definitions for it. And today, digging deep into what the world of work preparation looks like through the counselor lens. So Brennan, can you maybe set us up? Let's do a quick check back to kind of the key ideas of the expert approach to approaching work preparation and the coach approach to work preparation, which I can help out with.
Indeed. So the expert, a more traditionally minded approach, master and apprentice approach to much of school, expert and apprentice approach to much of school. The idea here was to prepare you for what is likely to be a single career, single life path, a job that you might keep for your entire working life and play that role in society or to meet that role in society that's expected of you. Sometimes that work would lead on from where your particular class, your upbringing, your family history. We're talking historically mostly here, but in many, there are still places around the world that are very much expert-centered, and this may still be the case. Your family history, where you live, your level of education will all determine where you're going to go on this path towards employment. So the school is kind of preparing you for that. The focus is very much on socialization as well, so that whichever of these paths you are destined to take, you would be able to be an upstanding citizen wherever you go. That has changed very much over the last century. And what we see very much now in the world is a lot of coach-centered approach. So Rob, what might that look like?
Yeah, so with all three of these, there's this idea that school is preparing you for something that comes after school, but in very different ways. With the coach approach, you're more looking, rather than at a single path, you're looking at many potential divergent paths after school. So the point of school is to prepare you for what comes after, and that's most likely, if we're looking at the idea of kind of an elementary to a high school trajectory, those schools are preparing you for college, university, your trades approach. It's preparing you for the next stage of school. And that next stage of school is the thing that's then going to engage with the actual workforce. So we're getting you ready for jobs, but at the same time, unlike the expert approach, there is this built-in idea of social mobility, that it doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter your level of education of your family, say, or it doesn't matter the part of the world. If you do well in school, you open doors for yourself. So it tends to taper from a more general skills at the beginning of school, and then the higher up you go, the more specialized it gets. And, underpinning this, what do we mean by, kind of opening up opportunities? There is this idea of like you're aiming for success. Everyone has this potential to aim towards the highest pay, the highest social status. And you're doing your best to kind of like, as I say, like, reach for the moon. But even if you don't get there, you fall among the stars. Like, aim to get to your absolute highest best in terms of success. There is this underpinning idea of a meritocracy behind this. So, work hard, work smart. You can be what you want. And at the end of the day, though, you are in a filter, and the school system is working as a filter while, almost everyone involved is trying to get to the highest possible point. Simply put, there's not space for everybody to have that highest job. There is still scarcity in the market. So in a sense, the school system is working to filter the general population so that when the general population is leaving school, college, university, their trade, they've kind of found the rung of the job market that they are going to be able to enter. And then, of course, once you're in the job market, you, of course, have the potential to continue that and work your way up to other things. But the idea is, you know, one of my uncles once said, he said, you know, school is really about just getting your foot in the door for your first job after school. Then the rest is up to you. But school is the thing that opens that door for your first job after school. That's an oversimplification, but that's one way you could look at this in a nutshell.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, if we're looking back at the very traditional approach of you take the job that your father or your family has kind of been doing, or what is needed in your local community, become an apprentice, maybe to a master. And then we have what we currently see as the job market, which is a place of you get your credentials, you take your chances out there in the world, and you try to find a place within it that fits, that suits, and hopefully you find a job that is fulfilling and meaningful. But that is not always the case. And I think that is where the counselor-centered approach starts to say, as it does with school generally, that you should be able to follow the path that is meaningful for you, but also meets the needs of your community. You need to be able to follow a path that is fulfilling and that allows you to bring all of yourself to it. That has not necessarily been the concern of the expert or the coach-centered approach. And so now we get to the counselor-centered and this idea that it's beyond surviving. It's beyond just serving your duty. It's about meaning. Not that it wasn't about meaning before, but meaning is now prioritized. It's about finding your, sometimes it's called your gestalt, your integration of your entire self to this. The school is preparing you to know what is of meaning to you in your life path, including your relationships, your interactions, and especially your job, your career, the thing that you're going to do with a lot of your time.
Yeah. And, you know, like you say, meaning was in the first two, but meaning in the expert is more like what's meaningful because it's necessary. In coach, it's like meaningful in the sense of like valued by society. But here's the first time where we're actually shifting that sense of meaning to the individual to say, okay, regardless of the world around you, what's meaningful to you and what's meaningful to the community around you? So it's attempting to tick two boxes at the same time.
And it's kind of maybe a less blunt tool, although there is specialization built into the coach-centered model, especially as you get up into university and even beyond that, or if you become a tradesperson, you specialize in a very specific area. This is beyond that towards personalization. It's a specialized to be your potentially the only person that can do this thing. Now, in a hypothetical counselor-centered world, where you're living in a self-sufficient community, you don't really need to do anything to pay your bills or to meet any other needs, then you can spend your whole time serving the community needs. And if you could serve the community in some way, if you're a builder, if you're an artist, you're a chef, you are somebody who could provide some service, but that was also something that was of real meaning to you and you leapt out of bed every day wanting to do this thing. Yeah, that's, I guess, the idealized situation, but we don't live in that world. We still have to, you know, pay our bills. We still have to meet needs that maybe aren't necessarily our main desire. So in the real world now, a counselor-centered approach would be helping you while you're going through the school to find out what is meaningful to you and explore that while you're in the school, but also acknowledging that you probably need some external qualifications to allow you to go down a particular path. But as we saw when we talked to Hans a few weeks ago about the Agora system, it's like, it's not like we ignore those qualifications, but it's, you can approach them in a way that actually does, that allows you to still spend a good chunk of your time exploring what is meaningful to you and then meet the needs of passing those mandated tests. And then as you go further on to specific qualifications that will help you to be able to do what you want to do and have this meaningful career and employment. Yeah, it's not either or. And that's sometimes, kind of, oh, well, you've got to live in the real world. Well, the real world does have opportunities for you to do things that are meaningful, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's easy to get yourself in that position. You do have to engage with the real world.
And I think this is where the straw man version of the counselor kicks in, where people mistake meaning to mean pleasure. This idea of like, well, you'd only do what's pleasurable. Well, the fact is, if you want to do something meaningful, you're creating a narrative for you that all of these pieces, that are requirements, let's whatever, an example, you want to do job X and it requires a driver's license. Well, you might not really be like passionate. Might not be pleasurable for you to sit down and study the road signs book. It might be stressful for you to like do the driving exam. Of course, there are other examples far more stressful and more demanding than this, but you're tying this into this narrative for yourself of no. Acquiring the license is a piece in this larger narrative of my pursuit of what is meaningful to me. And I think too often when this idea is presented, people just default to assuming, oh, meaningful means pleasurable. Or path of least resistance, or the easiest way. No. If you're doing something meaningful, you are definitely going to most likely engage with the world in complex, potentially uncomfortable, challenging, difficult ways that cause failure at times. This isn't just about doing what's easiest, what's pleasurable. It's about digging deep down into that sense of meaning and engaging with the world in a meaningful way, not hiding from it.
Yeah, and I think if we look back at how schools are preparing kids for that, it could potentially look quite similar in how towards the end of your time in a coach-centered school and in a counselor-centered school, you're actually preparing for similar qualifications, and you may be actually preparing in a similar way because they are kind of standardized test-based, and you do have to do some memorization. You do have to do some lots of revision and things like that. It's quite a narrow approach, but everything else you're doing will be very, very different. And I think that's the thing. If I'm going to my coach-centered school and I'm doing my history class, my math class, my English class, it may be very engaging. It's highly unlikely that it's developing my deep passions in a way that it requires critical thinking, like you're saying, Rob. That doesn't mean it's all easy. It doesn't mean that everything I'm doing is going to come easy and it's all just going to be fun and joy. The fact is that we will need to challenge ourselves. This is something that is interesting for us, and we're not running away from the challenge. We're approaching it, and it could be. I've worked with a lot of kids doing project-based work, inquiry-based work, and when it's done well, it is more challenging than a textbook, or they're challenging in different ways. And one of the kids who are doing the project-based and inquiry-based, they're being challenged in ways that are meaningful to them, depending on how much choice they get in it. But in a counselor-centered school, they would have a lot of choice and a lot of agency on what they're doing. So that's the broader sense of preparing you to prepare to know what you need to know and to put it into practice, to put those critical thinking skills, those self-management skills into practice, so that you then maybe you're doing the same test, the same qualification as somebody coming from a coach-centered school. Then when you get beyond that and 2 steps beyond, 3 steps beyond, the person from the counselor-centered approach, in theory, has a much deeper well to pull from because they've spent so much more time working out how this qualification is just a piece of the puzzle. It's not the next step. What would you say were some of the benefits of this, the babies, as we like to call them?
You're just pointing at the idea of like in the expert and the coach, often these things are presented sequentially. You might see a student, as you were saying, in a coach-centered school doing some standardized test, and a student in a counselor school also doing the same standardized test. I guess one of the differences you could say is the idea of consent. So in the coach approach, it's just like, hey, we're doing this now because the test is coming up. Whereas in the counselor-centered approach, it's like, oh, yeah, this standardized test is important to open the door for me to be able to do whatever in my next step. I'm consenting. I'm choosing to do this thing. I'm actively doing these preparation sessions versus just being told that this is something I need to do. So this idea of consent in there. Similarly, you aren't just directed and channeled by the system's current needs. So we have this kind of like joke between us. We've mentioned it in previous episodes. When I was leaving high school in Ontario, there was a huge need for tool and die workers. And every single person in my cohort had this suggestion made by their guidance counselor. Well, have you considered tool and die? Totally respectable line of work, incredibly well paid. However, like it was like guidance counselors weren't listening to what people were saying, like, oh, I would like to work in a music studio. You know what's quite similar to that, Rob? Tool and die. Have you considered this? And like, we almost thought they were getting a commission or something like that. But, you know, it's comedic because, you know, there's the province of Ontario acknowledging in its workforce there's this lack. Now, totally good suggestion, but it's not matching any of the students' needs other than their desire to have a, you know, well-paying, successful, secure job. But here's, you know, then it filters down to the Ontario government's education system to say, oh, you know what? This is our need right now. Quick, get us a bunch more tool and die people because the economy is really lagging on this. So we're removing this idea of individuals being directed and channeled by the system's current needs. And instead, we're bringing this idea of, well, what's driving you? What's important? You know, what are your needs? What's important to you? What do you want to give your time to? And that is something that's being respected. Again, this doesn't just come down to the individual. And again, that's the straw man version of, oh, just follow your bliss. Do whatever you want to do. There is still that need to root this in terms of the world around you. So you're trying to tick these two boxes of what's meaningful to you, but in what way does it serve your community's needs meaningfully? How does it benefit the community? Versus, and of course, I'm now straw manning the coach approach, but the coach approach would be like, hey, you do you, do the best you can, go out, you know, the worst version of it is be cutthroat, get into the best spot you can do, and, you know, get all you can so that you can do whatever with your life. No. This needs to like be sewn back into the idea of what are the needs of your community and how can you engage with them meaningfully? Yeah. And if we've been playing a drinking game, you've heard me say meaning multiple times now. Meaning is put at the center. And now it's not something that, oh, well, when you're done high school and done college and, you know, done your prep program, and then you get a job, the meaning's going to come way down then. No. We're saying at every step, every station along the way, from now as a student until later, meaning needs to be at the center of this, and this isn't something you need to wait on.
Yeah, and of course that means that the meaning further down the line is really, really important too, but meaning now is also important. You are living your life and quite a lot of it. If you're going to be 22 by the time you're 23, by the time you come out of college, it's quite a good chunk of your life that you've spent, and it's acknowledging that you're not just prepping or, as the Common Core likes to say, college and career readiness. There's a little bit more to it than that. Yeah, the straw man often is that it's just not realistic. And as you know, as we pointed out earlier, there is an unrealistic version of this that I'm just walking. Hey, I'd love to be a painter today. And I go down as paint and hey, why aren't people throwing money at me? There's something else missing though. You might need to still find a way to do this within your community. Hopefully by approaching this early in your education time, you can find the things within yourself and the kind of pathways. And of course, the teachers and educators within the school are well aware of this much more complex approach. And it's like, okay, well, you do want to be a painter. Okay, well, that's not necessarily a very easy path. It's quite a limited way for you to just paint whatever you like and make your money. But there are ways that you can work within schools with children, and you can work in communities, and you can still promote your own painting and work with, but still give back to the community. And again, that might not even, that's not an easy way either, but is this something you're passionate about? And so being in the real world and being in a world that is still actually much more close to that coach-centered approach, where, there are still very distinct careers that and career paths that we are taking and qualifications match to those. We do have to live in the real world. And that brings us I guess, to the bathwater part of this, the criticism of this approach, that yeah, you might know your meaningful path, you might know what is needed by you personally and by your community, but that could be an incredibly difficult path for you to pursue, and you may not get to be in that place, especially if, you know, the dream of the small business person, the entrepreneur, it's a high risk approach in compared to, you know, as you gave the example of Tool and Die, that at that time in your community would have been, although it may have only been the ideal job for a small number of people, it would have definitely been a secure income that would have allowed you to be a painter, for example, in your spare time. And maybe you could get meaning from that. But if you wanted to dedicate yourself to this one thing in the real world, this may not happen. And then that may lead to a sense of disillusionment if you've come through your counselor-centered school and you don't have, you know, your understanding of the real world. You may become disillusioned very quickly when you realize that your plans and your dreams, they're just not working. And that's why I guess that resilience is the thing that the straw man version of the counselor-centered approach kind of glosses over. But that my understanding and my experience in those kind of project-based, inquiry-based, counselor-centered approaches is that resilience and the ability to solve problems and know that everything's not going to go your way is built into it. It isn't a fantasy world. However, it is definitely the case that if you left that school thinking that the world was going to fall about your feet, you may become disillusioned quite quickly.
It's funny we keep using this term, the real world. We should spend a whole episode unpacking our definition of what we mean by the real
Probably.
world. But there is a real world that does have a job market. And that job market, well, to expand beyond the job market, for the functioning of society or an economy, it's also going to have needs. And at its best, I think a good counselor-centered approach would be looking around and saying, hey, in pursuit of finding what is meaningful for the community, hey, there is a need for Tool and Die, for example, right now. Like in the broader context of our province right now, that is a need. Like, is there some way that that need could be met? The flip side of this is if, again, we're going for the kind of unbalanced version of this counselor approach and the larger, say, economic system or the job market, its needs are not being actively fulfilled, such as Tool and Die, this is going to have echo effects on a larger scale in terms of regional, provincial, federal economic impacts that then actually not always going to say degrade, but will complicate the larger social structure. And there will be a need to say, hey, well, how are we going to fulfill these community, economic, provincial needs that we have in order to have this context that this school is existing within?
Which is arguably one of the biggest issues in education right now, is the how do we have a young people coming out who are inspired and feel like they want to do something with their lives whilst also keeping the economy growing. Maybe what the local and global economy wants is not what people coming out of college wants. And so how do we deal with that kind of approach? And that's a real issue, but it, of course, as each individual person comes out of college or out of school, whatever age they leave, that underlying this counselor-centered approach is that for you to be fulfilled as a person, you have to have that meaning. Without that, your life is not going to be as rich and as happy and as positive as it could be. We do have to make sacrifices to our community sometimes and to our circumstances. But if that's not balanced and if that's not integrated into what is meaningful to you, it's not going to be a very happy time for you or and likely for the people around you. But one other criticism of this approach is that, you know, when a kid's 14 or 15 years old and those bigger exams start to come around, to what extent can we trust them to say, Hey, well, I'd be okay if I get a like a half decent score. If I get a C grade on these tests, that's fine. So maybe I'll do a couple of hours study here, a couple of hours, then I'll kind of like and do it, and then I'll be able to kind of like use that qualification to get in here, or that they'll be like, yes, I really need this qualification. I'm really going to knuckle down and get it. It's one of those things like I liken it to getting your 6-year-old to brush their teeth. I know as a grown up that your teeth aren't going to fall out in a week or a month or in 6 months, but if you don't brush them every day, they are going to fall out. And you can't see that right now. And it's kind of a bigger version of that. It's like you don't want to study for these 10, 12 subjects right now, but you'll thank me for making you do this because we can't trust you to make that decision right now. And trust is very, very big in the counselor-centered approach. But if you don't subscribe to that view, you're not going to trust a 13-year-old or a 17-year-old or a 25-year-old to make their own decisions on these things. And it's tough because we know that we don't always make good decisions as kids or as an adult. So, yes, a valid concern in some ways, but of course the counselor-centered school would say that, yeah, of course we know that. We're not just leaving kids to make these decisions independently. We're supporting them and advising them with the parents being involved and asking whether this is the right path and asking whether this is the right amount of study in that specific area to go where we want to go. And I know that this is flexible and that change. And so I do think there are answers to it, but it is a valid concern.
There we have it. The counselor world of preparing people for the quote unquote job market, getting people to work once school is finished.
So it's for that meaning, Rob, that
Meaning,
meaning.
tie it into community and tick both boxes.
Yes.
Thanks, Brennan.
Thanks, Rob.